Because of COVID, I've stopped going to the gym, and instead I've been running, which I hate, but it works. And as I've slowly been building up my stamina, I've been going kind of outside of our neighborhood to the kind of surrounding areas. And as it's gotten hot, I've started to do that in the early mornings. And that's what led me to this kind of industrial space near where we live. And as I've been waking up at 6 o'clock and going for a run, I've noticed that usually there's a lot of cars parked here. Because I didn't realize this is where one of the landscaping companies has their headquarters. And if you're here at like 6:30, what you notice is there's a lot of young men that are employed by this company. It's actually the same company that works for the church. And, you know, they get out of cars. There's multiple people. No one's wearing masks. And I say that not to criticize, but just to notice. And, you know, this little strip of industrial land really meant nothing to me until I started running past. And I started to wonder where these guys are coming from. What's COVID like for them? What are their jobs looking like in the summer? Are they getting paid well? And it started to hit home differently. I mean, I started to notice. Now, I've not moved past noticing. I've not come to know them in any way. But it shifted my perception of who my neighbors are. What I'm called to do and be. And I would have never had that experience of shifting my perceptions of who my neighbors are, who I am connected to when I would go to my gym. I mean, I could, but people were coming from everywhere. This is my neighborhood. These are my people. Getting out and noticing makes a big difference. To be able to love our neighbors, we need to know them. And we need to go past just like knowing their names. We need to know what's important to them. Civil rights activist Ruby Sales speaks about a question that she came to ask as she was involved in civil rights. And the question was, where does it hurt?
But a defining moment for me happened when I was getting my locks washed and my locker's daughter came in one morning and she had been hustling all night and she had sores on her body and she was just in a state, drugs. So something said to me, ask her, where does it hurt? And I said, Shelley, where does it hurt? And just that simple question unleashed territory in her that she had never shared with her mother. And she talked about having been incested. She talked about all of the things that had happened to her as a child. And she literally shared the source of her pain. And I realized in that moment, listening to her and talking with her, that I needed a larger way to do this work.
Now, in that clip, she asks that question, where does it hurt? But she also says the woman's name. She says Shelley. She knows who this person is. It's not just, they're not a stranger to her. To be able to ask that question, and also to have a truthful answer, necessitates us moving from noticing to knowing. Now, I love that question, where does it hurt? Because we can ask it of each other and we can ask it of our place. I mean, think about it. In your neighborhood, where does it hurt? There's a concept from the book, The New Parish, that I really love. It's called Faithful Presence. Faithful Presence describes a relational worldview. In each situation, we are listening for what our relationships require of us, responding according to our capacity. Each relationship might require a nuanced response. This is why presence is so important. We must be present to our situation, listening for the Spirit, for what the Spirit is calling us towards. Now they say, get hit by a sprinkler. The faithful presence is about is found in between, trying to transcend our limitations, trying to go above what is possible in a moment, going beyond the speed of trust, and abdicating our relationship, our responsibility towards each other. I think most of us find ourselves on one side or the other most of the time. We're either the type to step away from our responsibilities or to try to transcend our limitations, try to go beyond what's possible. Whew, just got wet. And we can't be present if we're always trying to escape this space to some sort of technicolor dream world, right? Here matters, this place, because it's where a future distinct from the present can be born. No other place, no other fantasy. Last night I was on this exact path. I was praying. I was moving through the neighborhood. I was trying to discharge the anxiety that was in me. I started to pray for all of my neighbors. As I passed the houses of people I knew, I would pray for them, offering them compassion and care. And then I would pray for the kids that I see all around our neighborhood, for all the people I don't know. And I started to have this reaction. I was looking around. I was like, oh, this place is so generic. And there's all these big houses filled with middle-class people. This isn't the place where something great could happen. This isn't the place where something important could take root. There isn't pain here, or if it's here, it's so hidden. Why am I living here? And the question arose within me. What if we trusted that courageous love has a way of working here? And the grass isn't actually greener somewhere else. What if, who am I to say that this isn't a place for the seeds of courageous love to find their fertile soil? So I started praying more for all the kids who must be struggling with this reality of COVID, for all the families of color who are living in our community, for the pain and the struggle or the exhaustion that they must be going through, the questioning that they might have about their neighbors, whether or not we care or are actively hostile towards them. I started to imagine what our neighborhood could do if we truly knew each other, if we noticed and we came to love one another, if only we met. And that's when I saw a neighbor that I hadn't met who was on his porch. And even though I had just preached a sermon about how you needed to meet one of your neighbors this week, I turned the other way and I walked around the block and I kept praying. Yeah, praying for the neighborhood, praying for myself. And a question from the new parish, this book I mentioned, came up to me. It said, what if we loved this place more than our hopes for this place? What if we loved this place more than our hopes for this place? And I realized that I'm guilty, so guilty of, you know, falling in love with the ideas, falling in love with the fantasy, and not the reality. You know, the fantasy of community is fulfilling, but it's only my fantasy. So I circled back around. I mustered the courage, took out my headphones, and introduced myself. And from that moment, there's now actually a spark of a neighborhood summer celebration. Now that Pride and the 4th of July are canceled, we talked about what if we did something here. Here matters, because it's where a future distinct from the present can be born. And if we are able to get in relationships in which we can listen truly to each other, listening for that yearning, touching that place where it hurts, where our disconnection and pain, trusting each other, of answering that call of courageous love, not in fantasy, but in the slow work of community, we might actually get there, piece by piece, moment by moment. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Let's make it so. Amen.